Welcome back to the Effective Ministry Podcast, the podcast that helps you have an effective youth and children's ministry in your local church. I'm Tim Bielhartz, Children's Ministry Advisor for YouthWorks in Sydney, and I'm joined today by another Tim, Tim Schooler, who is the Assistant Minister at Norwest Anglican Church, and most relevant for our discussion today, Tim is in charge of the youth ministry there at Norwest. Welcome to the podcast, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. Great to be joined by another Tim, the greatest name that God gave the earth. Great to be joining the podcast too.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you here. We're going to talk today particularly about the kind of content that we teach in our youth ministry and particularly the how and why to teach doctrine to our teenagers. But before we jump into that conversation, I'd love for everyone just to hear a bit more about you, about your church and your ministry at Norwest. So let's start with, you know, how did you become a Christian? And as part of that, what drew you into doing church ministry as a vocation?
Yeah, so I have the remarkable privilege of growing up in a Christian home and attended a youth ministry from year six onwards that sought to intentionally disciple me. So I grew up at St. Paul's Castle Hill. Yeah, I had a number of leaders during that time who were discipling me really faithfully, complemented by what was probably the culture of the home and the way that home happened. I think mum and dad would probably say that the key way they discipled their kids was to prioritize involvement with the local church. And so they were really faithful with that, but there probably wasn't much like intentional discipleship in the home from them in terms of Bible teaching and things. But we certainly prayed together and did those things. And then it was year 12. So I was a Christian. There wasn't a time wherever I'd say I wasn't a Christian. I made a decision in year six to follow Jesus. And then in year 12 and first year uni, I went through a bit of a period of wrestling where I really had to own that if the Bible is what I believe it is, and if the Christian life is what it claims to be, then actually I've got to take it a little bit more seriously than what I have been. And that actually it demands my whole life. And so that led me to considering the mission field. And long story short, I ended up in living in the United Kingdom for a couple of years, and I was trying to find a job in the business side of sport, which is what my university degree was in. I couldn't find a job in that, and there was a church that was looking for someone to do youth ministry, and I'd always loved being a youth in youth ministry and serving in youth ministry as a volunteer. And so I thought, oh yeah, I could do that. And so it was a little Church of Scotland parish in a village called Newport on the south side of the Tay River opposite Dundee. And I was there for about 18 months before my visa ran out and I had to come back to Sydney. But by that stage, I'd sort of decided that I loved ministry. I caught the bug and there was no going back. So I came back to Sydney. I confirmed that call with a few sort of trusted mentors to say, hey, is this the right thing? And started at Norwest actually in April 2014. So I've been there for 9.5 years, been here for 9.5 years. And done college and those things in that time.
Yeah, great. Tell us a bit more about Norwest. Where is it in Sydney? Who's there? What's the demographic? And, you know, if I was a teenager at Norwest, I was there in the church, I was an active member of your youth ministry, what would I be experiencing week by week, year by year?
Yeah, so Norwest is in the northwest of Sydney.
That makes sense.
That does make sense. Call it what it is, right? So that's what we are. So Hillsong is in our parish. So it's kind of, you know, the hills of Sydney, you know, historically have kind of been a bit of a Bible belt. Southwest Sydney, I think, according to the last census, has a higher proportion of Christians than the hills does now. But yeah, historically, that's sort of been the flavor. So we are a church of all up on a Sunday across our services, 750-ish, including adults and kids. Youth ministry is mainly Friday night and Sunday afternoon. Friday night, we have year 6 to 8 and year 9 to 12 in two sort of sittings. And that's a pretty stock standard youth group structure. Sunday afternoon, we have our discipleship communities, where we spend a little bit of time in year and gendered groups, but also we spend time working on projects to make youth better according to our values. We might get into more of that later, but yeah, we're in small groups on a Sunday, planning stuff to do ministry, serving alongside one another as teenagers. And then for Keen Beans, there's a few other things that happen around the place that they can get involved in. So
good. Yeah, if we've got time, we will come back to thinking about your values. But Al James pointed me in your direction and said, you need to talk to Tim because of how he teaches doctrine to youth, by which I take it means you're not just teaching the Bible in youth group, which for most of our listeners will be a no-brainer. Teaching the Bible to teenagers is the bread and butter of why we do youth ministry. But specifically, you're digging into topics that, you know, say if we were a Bible college, we'd be classified as systematic theology, you know, big yeah. theological themes, meaty yep. context. Tell me about how that, how you go about that, where it fits into the rhythm of your year.
Yeah, great. So like many youth groups, our sort of regular pattern for Friday night teaching is that we will teach through a sort of a broad expository diet. So in four terms in the year, and you'll try and have an Old Testament, a New Testament letter, a gospel, and, you know, a topical series of some sort. And that's generally like a apologetic or an evangelistic series or something like that. But our camp that we run in April, we always place a focus on teaching meaty doctrine on camp. And so that has been our practice for the last 7 years, I think, now that we've done that. And so we go through that on a four-year cycle. We'd go through theology proper, so the doctrine of God. We do soteriology, doctrines of salvation. We do anthropology, who we are as people, and then revelation, how God has revealed himself to us. And that's been a challenge in some ways, but it's been a real joy. And crucially, it's something that the leadership team, we think, is just crucially important for our teenagers to have a robust theological grid through which they can interact with the world as Christians.
So why would you go about this process? Rather, you know, you've got that regular rhythm of Old Testament, New Testament, topical, you know, exegesis right throughout the year. Why slow down on your camp and focus on these kind of big, deep themes?
Yeah, we think it is just critical for our teenagers to have a theological grid. The way I like to think about it is when you're building a fire, a campfire, say, and you've got kindling, and you've got the little things, but there's the big logs, the big planks that actually provide the structure for the rest of it to be a fire that works. And so you can be reading through Romans, or you can be reading through one of the Gospels, or you can be reading Deuteronomy or whatever. And that's like in that moment as you're reading it, it's a branch, or it's a twig or something that is flaming and is great for you. But underneath our exegesis is a plank of who is God, who am I, and what's going on in this world, that, you know, the doctrines of salvation. And so those are the things that allow our exegesis to be faithful. Obviously, it's exegesis that underpins our systematics as well. But our teenagers need those building blocks of the Christian life in order to live as disciples and to understand who our God is and why they should love him and give their life to him.
So paint us a bit more detail. So you've had a camp in April this year. What does it actually look like? You know, how many talks are you doing? How did you structure the talks? How did you implement the teaching of the systematic theology?
Yeah, so very happy to. There's a similar pattern that we follow in all of our camps that we do this. So this year we were up to theology proper in our four-year cycle of camps. And so the last time we did theology proper, we were looking at the Trinity. And this year we wanted to zero in on Christology. And so we were doing, the dream I had to come to it was to look at the two natures of Christ in his humanity and his divinity. And we sort of got there, but it was a Christology sort of camp. So complete was the theme for our camp. And that was a little bit vague sort of beforehand, sort of, you know, what's that, could be anything. But we're thinking about the completeness of Christ who invites us into complete life. And so the format of the talks, Friday night is our first talk. So camp runs Friday morning to Sunday night. The first talk is always a creation or a pre-fall element to the doctrine. So we teach our doctrines with a gospel shape. And so the Friday night this year, when we're thinking about complete, we're thinking about the eternal Son of God as being complete, but not human, as he was pre-incarnation, as sort of he was before the fall. And then Saturday morning, talk two, we're thinking about humanity and we're thinking about how we are incomplete and human. And then that sets us up for the Sunday morning where we the glory of the incarnation and we're thinking about the completeness of Jesus as a human. And so that brings us into, you know, this. He's the one who took on flesh. He doesn't lose his divinity as he steps into the world, but he adds a human nature. And so he is fully God and fully man. And then we finished Sunday night by thinking about how this influences us now and then some eschatological reflections as well about what we can anticipate in the new creation.
Yeah, that's really helpful. It's good to sort of map it out in that way. And also, as you say, to have that gospel framework, the gospel story framework, creation, fall, redemption, restoration in that. Let's talk about the teenagers themselves. What are the benefits you're seeing in your teenagers because they're wrestling with these big topics?
I think one of the things that we see in our youth, and it's certainly the case that it's not like every teenager walks away from, being involved in our youth ministry, ready to write a book of systematic theology. Half of them wouldn't be able to tell you that's what we're doing. but for those who are engaged and for those who are eager to think about these things, which I think is the majority on one of those camps, they walk away with a few convictions, regardless of how much of the detail of that area of doctrine that they have taken on board. They walk away from camp going, Christianity and the Bible teaches really, really big things. It teaches really important things, and it teaches things that are robust enough to have answers to life's questions. And I think that that is a helpful and necessary addition to the week-by-week teaching of the Bible, which is your steady diet in the life of a Christian. It's helpful to sort of stop and go, actually, let's spend a weekend thinking about who the eternal Son of God is. And hopefully it is that that log in the fire that can sustain a life of worshipful Christian living for decades.
And I think it's important to realize that teenagers can wrestle with these things, that sometimes we underestimate the ability of teenagers to wrestle with big ideas and complex themes. And sometimes, even in the church, we can sometimes underplay and do less than is happening at their school level. They might be wrestling with big ideas in school, certainly on their media and their friendship groups. They're talking about big ideas, even if they don't always have the language for it. As you said, we don't always have the language for the systematic theology either.
And this is where there's a healthy challenge for us who are involved in the task of pastoral ministry to teenagers, in that I think kids and youth ministry really good tests for actually how well do we know our deep doctrines, because our doctrines are for the whole church. They aren't just for adults. They are for our whole church. And sometimes when we're teaching adults about elements of systematic theology, for example, we can hide behind the fancy long-sounding words to ensure that we are being orthodox. And so we can talk about things, we can use words like propitiation when it comes to the area of soteriology. And we can say that word in our heads, tick the I've been faithful to my doctrine box, and some of our adults understand that word, some of them don't, but we can sort of know, well, I'm being faithful. If you're talking to someone from year seven, there's no way you're going to try and teach them the word. There's no way you're going to just drop the word propitiation without robust explanation of it. And it might be that you decide to use different language to explain the concept of propitiation, which is going to be more difficult for you, because when you use different language, there are other risks that come in. You risk miscommunicating it. But you have to take that risk, I think, if you're going to teach faithfully, because the greatest problem with communication is the illusion that it's occurred. And if you are just saying correct things, but not in a way that your teenager or a kid can understand, well, you're actually not communicating, you're actually not teaching. And so it's on us to package our true, deep theological truths in such a way so that our teenagers can grab hold of it and live with it.
Every young person deserves to hear the greatest story ever told, the good news of Jesus. Through the ministry of SRE in schools, young people have the chance to be part of God's wonderful story. YouthWorks is a key provider of training, accreditation, and resourcing of volunteer SRE teachers in New South Wales government schools. You can support SRE today with a tax-deductible donation to enable children to hear the greatest story ever told. Just Google YouthWorks, SRE, donate. Yeah, I think that's really, really helpful to talk about how our packaging of it, we do have to understand it really, really well. And sometimes I do reflect that children's and youth ministers have an even harder job than those who are preaching to predominantly adult congregations, because you can't rest on some of that assumed language. Though, as you say, sometimes we assume more than we ought, even when we're talking to adults as well. I want to come back to this. You highlighted before the idea about your values, and you've got deep doctrinal convictions behind your value statements as well. Do you want to tell us what are the value statements that you have as a youth ministry, how they interact with the value statements of your church, and what's the interplay here between values and doctrines, and how do you help your teenagers to understand that?
Yeah. So a quick heads up, these might get a little bit wordy, because that's if there's one weakness to our value statements, they're a little bit wordy, but I think they're really helpful. So 2017, we went away as a youth leadership team in January, and we decided that, okay, we're all involved in the task of discipleship, but we need to color that picture in a little bit for us to sort of know that we're on the right track. And so we came up with, we brainstormed together, what are six things, we just sort of asked the question, what do we love to see in teenagers and what breaks our heart? And based off those brainstormings, we condensed, actually, we think we're on about six things, and we made sure it was supported by scripture and all that. And so the six value statements that we came up with, we love seeing youth so anchored to Jesus, they are grounded through the storms of life. We love seeing youth so shaped by Jesus, they plow for the lost in God's harvest field. We love seeing youth so stunned by Jesus, they joyously get rid of everything to be rescued. We love seeing youth so united in Jesus. Youth at Norwest is a lovingly winsome community. We love seeing youth so hungry for Jesus. They treasure him and his word at every opportunity. And we love seeing youth so secure in Jesus. They humbly serve others first, putting themselves last. So they are a little bit wordy. But in that, even sort of behind those statements, there are some theological convictions. So they're Christological. As a disciple, we come to Jesus, and it's our response to Jesus that drives us into certain things. So we don't just value Bible reading. We value youth who are hungry for Jesus, and so that drives them to Bible reading. We don't just value evangelism, but we value teenagers who've been shaped by Jesus so that they reach their friends with the gospel. And so there's a conviction there, and that plays into some anthropological convictions about, well, who are we as people? We need to be impacted, and it's our desires and it's our heart that is impacted by Christ and by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that then drives us to action. So we're not interested in behavior modification first and foremost. We want our teenagers to come to Jesus first, and that to drive the way that they live out their life as a disciple. So those are our value statements. And we have, for our teenagers who are with us on a Sunday afternoon, they meet in six groups for half that time, one for each of those value statements, where they're thinking about how can we drive this value into, like, deep into the life of our youth ministry. And so they're all working on projects. So our shaped value, which is all about evangelism, they're running the Bring a Mate night for next term. And they're, one of our youth boys is preaching, and they're working out how do we promo, how do we get our youth excited to be there, all of those things. Our stunned value, they're running the first night of youth next term, which is they're running a Thanksgiving service to give God thanks for all that he's done in us and through us over the last year, and they've been working towards that. And so they're all working on projects to drive these values deep into our youth. But crucially, it's the teenagers themselves who are doing that work, which means you end up with far more creative and far more exciting projects than if just the leadership team was doing it.
Yeah, it's lovely to have the youth actively engaged in those things. And I love that you are thinking about, here are our value statements. The first thing I really like about those is that they are shaped, as you say, by our anthropology, that, and it's about our emotions, and it's about our affective relationship with King Jesus. It's not just, as you say, behavior modification. I was having a conversation with a friend yesterday, and he was wondering about a conference he'd been at recently, thinking about whether there was a difference between discipleship and faith formation. And he was just pondering this idea of maybe discipleship is learning from and living like Jesus. And my wondering about that was, well, I could do that, but I could also be a disciple of Seneca. I could be a disciple of Shakespeare. I could be a disciple of, you know, Joseph Banks, or, you know, I could learn from and live like a whole lot of historical figures. But we fundamentally believe as Christians that Jesus isn't just an interesting historical figure whose teachings have been encapsulated in a document that we can now learn and try to live by, but we're in an active relationship with Jesus. And because he is risen and he is the Lord Christ, and we can have that personal relationship with him now, that is driving all of our actions. So I love that you've got that focus there as well, and that it's applicable. You've got these applications that you're working out. Okay, what do these actually look like in practice?
If I can share one way that our teenagers get immersed in those mm-hmm. value statements, please. And this links into camp as well, actually. So when one of the things that we do on camp is we call it the meal steal. And so there's a set, it's kind of like a mini catechism that we set for the camp. So there's three questions. And the first question is always, what are we doing at Youth at Norwest? We're building the next generation of revolutionary disciples. So that's the first question. Second one, what's a disciple? Someone who is anchored, shaped, stunned, united, hungry, secure. We run through those values. And then the third one is always specific to that camp. And so this year, what makes Jesus complete? And the answer was, Jesus is God, the Son incarnate. He is love wrapped in flesh, which is a quote from Thomas Goodwin, one of the Puritans. And so we condense, and so that's an example of sort of condensing that theology into youth accessible language so that they can grab hold of that. And the teenagers they memorize those things, because if they can get those answers correct on camp and they challenge a leader who doesn't, then the leader needs to give them their next meal, like a bag of snakes or whatever, you know, favorite lolly that they brought to camp for the purpose of it. So all of it's one of those just lovely cultural things that youth camps develop. And so teenagers, like they long for the info pack for camp to come out so they can start, you know, learning the meal steal so that they're ready to go. And through that, they're memorizing our value statements, and they're memorizing doctrine in a little sort of catechetical format. It is, you know, if you're going to have vision statements, if you're going to have mission statements or whatever, they need to be stitched into the rhythms of your ministry life. Otherwise, you know, they're effectively not there. And so that's one of the ways that we try and keep our values there. And it's also, we're pretty confident that 95% of teenagers who come on camp walk away having memorized a statement that summarizes the doctrine of that camp.
Which is great for that stickiness. It's in their head. They're going to be thinking about it, memorizing it. It's going to be holding on to it. And then that idea that, yeah, value statements have to be repeated. They have to be lived. They have to be integrated into our whole life. I think it's Pete Mayrick who says that too many times churches write vision statements, you know, they spend a lot of time on it, and then it goes in the bottom drawer and no one thinks about it till 10 years later when someone goes, have we got a vision statement? We should come up with a vision statement. Yeah. But actually going through these values regularly, immersing your teenagers in them, I think that's a really, really powerful thing. If a church is thinking about teaching some doctrine, teaching some systematics to their youth, whether it be at a camp format or a weekly format, I mean, how would you advise churches to move forward and start to implement some of these systematic teachings into their youth program?
Yeah, well, give it a crack, you know. That's where it's good. I think to start with the conviction is a good thing to do. And any attempt that you make to do it is going to be, is going to be valuable, so long as you're thoughtful in the way that you do it. And so it could be, you know, if you want to just start small, it could be that when you're writing discussion questions for a Bible study or for, you know, debriefing a talk on a Friday night, you know, you have one question in there that is doctrinal in its nature. What does this teach us about God? Who does this tell us about who we are? Start having kids to sort of think beyond just the, here's what the passage said, here's what I should do, but actually reflect theologically on who is God, who am I, how has God saved me, these sorts of things. And then if you're coming to teach doctrine and theology through talks, for instance, I think you want to do that hard work of packaging that doctrine in a youth-friendly way or a kid-friendly way. And so that the meal steal process that we go through of coming up, how are we going to articulate the meal steal for Christology this year? It's actually a really, really good sharpening process for my theological thinking to go, what is and isn't helpful about this language? How could it be misconstrued? How much formal theological language do we have to use? And so we felt like incarnate was a really important word to use and to teach throughout the weekend. But then there's other words that can sort of just color that in and give the feel for it. And we love that phrase, love wrapped in flesh, because it just communicates the heart of the incarnation, that Christ comes to us and he puts on humanity out of love, driven by his desire to be with his people. And so doing that hard work of sort of summarizing to go, how are we going to package this, really crystallizes your thinking to ensure that you're teaching it in a faithful way to teenagers or kids.
Final question. A number of our audience will have been to Bible college and have some reading lists like you have got. But for those who may not have or not quite sure where to start, have you got any favorite resources, any books that you go to help you formalize what the doctrines are, getting a groundwork on it, anything that might be particularly written for youth ministers or just in general are helpful on understanding this topic?
So the main book that I read for the Christology topic was a book called God the Son Incarnate by Stephen Wellham. That was a pretty dense theological tome. It's probably the biggest theological book I've read since college. So it was hard yards, and I needed to get a reading partner to sort of say, hey, I want to read this, but it's going to be a challenge. Can we keep each other accountable to discuss it? And so that was helpful. Before I went to college, I developed my sort of systematic grid through a bunch of audio resources online, and you have to Google it and see if they're still there somewhere. But Mike Reeves, who is now the president of Union Bible College in Wales, in the UK, he was the theologian at large for UCCF, so kind of like evangelical Christian Union groups in universities in the UK, and they had the talks online from his sessions where he was teaching theology to workers in that context. And they were just so helpful. So they were kind of pitched at a young adult-y kind of audience. I learned church history through that. I learned different areas of theology and all those sorts of things. So I found that really helpful. But I'd reflect on your learning style. If you're a reader, then chat to someone who you know and say, hey, what are some good introductory books for my level to stretch me in my theological thinking? If you prefer listening and you like audiobooks, then jump onto Audible and, again, get those recommendations. Or, tap into your networks. If you feel like you really need the discussion and the help from others, then, say, hey, I want to set up a group for a few people who want to stretch ourselves thinking theologically. Would you be able to join and sort of know yourself and know what you need with the help of others? And then have a crack at implementing.
Brilliant. This has been such a helpful discussion, Tim. I'm sure people are very encouraged to tackle some systematic theology, some doctrine in their youth ministry. Appreciate your ministry at Norwest. Thank you for your time today.
And you, mate. Appreciate what all you guys at YouthWorks Ministry Support do. So greatly thankful.
Cheers. Thanks, mate.
The Effective Ministry Podcast is a production of YouthWorks in Sydney. We want to see effective youth and children's ministry in every church. And one of the ways that you can help us do that is by letting people know about this podcast in all the usual ways, like, comment, share, and review on your favorite social media and podcasting platform. If you've got comments, thoughts, or questions for this podcast, you can email us at effectiveministrypodcast@youthworks.net. And also check out youthworks.net for other ways that YouthWorks can help you have an effective youth and children's ministry in your church.